Jon Stewart, the musician, is not a household name like his comedian counterpart, but you all know his music. Jon grew up in California in the 40s and 50s. He was in the Kingston Trio, made a classic album of the folk rock genre called California Bloodlines, and he wrote Daydream Believer for the Monkees. Jon has a new album called The Day the River Sang. And I started out by asking Jon Stewart if he thought of himself as inventing folk rock with his classic album, California Bloodlines.
I didn't feel that way, though what I was hearing in folk music and country music wasn't really what I was doing, and I got with the producer, Nick Vinay, and told him what I wanted to do, and he said, well, let's go to Nashville, and the musicians there knew exactly what we wanted, and we just storm through the album. This is California Bloodlines.
Yep.
And most of the album is a two-track. Most of the album is live. And I didn't think of it as folk rock then. I just thought of that was something I wanted to do.
One of the things about that album, thematically, are things that have been with you throughout your career, writing about your dad and horse racing, and I'm thinking specifically of the song Mother Country. But I'd love to, if you could tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what it was like, because you grew up in a kind of California that, certain number one, isn't there now, I don't believe. You can set me straight on that. But number two, it was such a special time, the 40s into the 50s. What was it like where you grew up?
I grew up I was born in San Diego, and then we moved to Pasadena, and then we moved to a couple of towns in California, but it was all in that part of Southern California. My dad was working for the Air Force in World War II, but he was a horse trainer mainly. Mm-hmm. He was raised in Kentucky, and on all the weekends and days off, I would go and work for him all day, every day. And I remember clearly the day he told me, now listen, you play your cards right, and at the end of this summer, I'm going to pay you $1 a day, and that's going to be $90. And I thought, that is more money than I ever heard of in my life. And I worked on the racetrack, being what they called a guinea. And I cleaned the tack and walked the hots, which is walking the horses in a circle till they dry out when they've been training. And I would just do that all day. That's where I first started writing songs, was when I was walking the hots, because there is nothing more boring than walking the hots unless you have something to occupy your mind. And just the rhythm of the walking of the horses and the atmosphere of the racetrack. And Hank Williams was always playing on the radio, or Tex Ritter, who I really liked. So the firmament was there to be a songwriter.
Yeah, you were originally kind of a rocker, though, weren't you? You had a rock band when you were in your teens?
Yeah, very much so. I had a rock band in high school called the Furies. We always used to name our groups after cars. And I loved the songs I was hearing on the radio. I was there for the birth of Elvis. And when I heard Buddy Holly and Little Richard and Elvis, of course, and the other bunch that were now getting on the radio, I was just in guitar heaven.
Now, how did your songwriting start to take prominence? Because I understand it was your songwriting that led to you replacing Dave Gard in the trio.
Yeah, that's right. I was writing songs like crazy. They were just pouring out of me. And I loved American history, and I'd read about the Civil War, Bruce Canton, and those books, and wrote a lot of songs about the Civil War, and remember my dad's stories about the Civil War in Kentucky. He didn't remember, but he told me about his great-grandfather. So I started writing about that, and that really influenced my writing, and still does. I think once you start writing about something, you don't get rid of it. It's always there. I heard Bruce Springsteen saying a couple of days ago that his roots, when he's writing, when he's sitting down with one guitar writing, his roots, which is folk music, are always there. And folk music for me has always been there. You write a song that can be a rock song, but it's really a folk song.
Well, tell you what, why don't we go to the performance? We have a wonderful performance in front of an audience here in Philadelphia of some of the new songs. And let's hear a couple of those. I want to you start off with the way the new album, The Day the River Sang, starts, which is Baby, It's You. Now, what is the vintage of this? Pretty new?
It's very new. It's written in the last 6 months. And it's one of those songs that just came. I was sitting down on the couch writing that rhythm, and the song started coming. And it was, you know, going back to my high school days, which I'm not the only writer to do that. It was writing about trying to woo your high school sweetheart and get across to her that it's always been her and it always would be her.
This is Baby, It's You. I guess John Stewart live.
Thank you. Thank you.
The stars and I are doing all right, and they sing to me of you. And the moon on the hood is doing what it should, and I dream when the moon is blue, and baby, it's you. Baby, it's you. Baby, it's you. Spell of night I first fell, and baby, you know it's true. And I'll take my chance on the nightingale dance when they played every song we knew, and baby, it's you. Baby, it's you. Baby, it's you.
you.
John Stewart, our guest, live today with a version of the song that begins the new album out on Appleseed called The Day the River Sang. And we're definitely going to talk about this new record, but we would be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the great history that John Stewart's music has been there for. And as I said, I'm kind of tickled because he's done some of my favorite work over the years. For instance, you do a version of July, You're a Woman on here, which is from that album, that California Bloodlines we originally talked about. And I remember at the time, that song got covered by a lot of people at the time.
A lot of people. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, what was the, who was the July? Who was the woman that was that inspired this?
She was an amalgam of girls I knew in high school. And when I was writing July, You're a Woman in Pomona in the workroom, was kind of the music room in Woodshop, July just came out. July, You're a Woman more than anyone I've ever known. And it just stayed, and I just built everything around that. And what I like about it is that people can see July as anybody they want. That way they can make it their own. And it's much, much more lasting than having someone that I can say, oh, July was in my high school, and she now is retired. She taught school, and she does a lot of crocheting, you know.
Indeed. And she's also unique because there's a lot of songs about Aprils, but there's only one I know about a July. And this is John Stewart live on stage with a song, I'll Bet You Know, even if you didn't know, you know, called July, You're a Woman.
I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me and I'm drunk out of my mind, merely from the fact you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I just assume right now pull on over to the side of the road and show you what I mean. La 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 da da da. La da 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 da. Would you lie, you're a woman more than anyone I've ever known. I can't hold my eyes on the white line out before me when your hand is on my collar and you're talking in my ear. And I have been around with a gypsy girl named Shannon, the daughter of the devil, a lady strange. I should mention to you, I haven't thought of her in years. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. Oh, would you like your woman more than anyone I've ever known? I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I just as soon right now side of the road, yeah, and show you what I mean. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. July woman more than anyone I've ever known. More than anyone that I've ever known. July woman. La-da-da.
July, you're a woman from our guest, John Stewart, who's playing live for us today. We're getting a chance to talk with him. Now, back at that period of time, there probably weren't, and I say this from talking to some other people, there weren't that many models in California for the itinerant folk singer, but there were a lot of models for people writing songs for other people because the industry was centered in L.A. and all that. Did you straddle those two fences as you were coming up?
I wasn't really aware of that. I knew about Pete Seeger, and I got the Weavers at Carnegie Hall, and about that time when Elvis went in the Army, and Bobby Rydell and Fabian and that group took over rock and roll. It wasn't rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking around to see what was there. And the songbooks that I would pick up at the local folk shop and communist headquarters. It really was. It was just, you know, those were the times. And there were some great lyrics and songs in these books. And I thought, wow, this is the roots they've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Along about this kind of period in your career we're talking about when you were first starting to make solo albums after the Kingston Trio, I wanted to check this with you because I just read this and I wasn't sure I quite understood it. What was it? You, of course, left the Kingston Trio and John Denver left the Chad Mitchell Trio. People have to understand that there was the Highwaymen, there was a zillion trio-type bands out there. But you guys formed a duo. Is that accurate or you were thinking about it?
That's correct. We were going to do it. And I had known John and heard him play live, and I heard him play with the Chad Mitchell Trio and was just spellbound by his voice. I mean, he can be sitting across the auditorium and be too loud singing. He's got these great pipes. And we thought of combining the songs we were writing, and we did two songs that were brand new for us, one for him that was called For Baby, that was really leaving on a jet plane. And for me, it was Daydream Believer. So we did demos on these two songs, and no record company was really interested. They could care less, and I would pay anything to still have that demo.
Boy, I'll bet. Well, so Daydream Believer at that point had I listen to that song now, and I hear it as a folk song, and, you know, of course, we know it as the Monkees song, but a lot of what the Monkees did, your song, I'm thinking of Mike Nesmith's songs, were kind of in this folk kind of contingent end of things. How did it become a Monkees song?
A friend of mine was a guy named Chip Douglas, and he was up for Dave Guard's part in the Kingston Trio. And we were at a party in Laurel Canyon, and he said, "Do you have any songs for the Monkees?" And I said, "Well, yes, I do." And I played him Daydream Believer, and he said, "You've got to go right home and bring me a cassette of that song because we're recording now, and they've got to do that song." So I did. And he called about 3 days later to tell me the Monkees want to do the song, but the label won't let him sing funky. The line in the song, "But now you know how funky I can be," wouldn't let that. I said, "Well, what do they want him to sing?" He said, "Happy." I said, "Chip, it makes no sense." He said, "Let me tell you this. It's either happy or they don't do it." And I said, "Chip, Happy's working real good for me, I got to tell you."
It's kind of amazing that's something that... So it was an image thing for them. Funky didn't work.
Didn't work for Davey. No.
Well, let's go on stage and hear a version of that one with our guest, John Stewart, here on the World Cafe.
I could hide neath the wing of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise. I rub the sleep out of my eyes. The shaving razor's old and it stings.
Everybody singing now.
Yeah, cheer up, Sleepy Jean. For oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen?
Beautiful.
You once thought of me as a white knight on his steed, and now you know how funky I can be. And our good times starting in town, without a dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really? Cheer up, Sleepy Jean. For oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen?
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you.
Daydream Believer, a song that is embedded in the in our consciousness from the pen of our guest today, John Stewart. And more so today, I tell you, I tell people I'm interviewing you, and of course they think I'm interviewing the guy on television, but then I say, no, 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 and I start singing that. And I'm talking about my daughter. You know, people know that. I hope you held on to a little bit of the publishing on that.
None.
Oh.
Zero.
Oh.
The deal for the Monkees doing it meant that they got the publishing. The Screen Gems got the publishing, but I got all the writers. And it's the smartest thing I've ever done in my whole life. Because there were writers that said, oh, no, if you don't get half the publishing, don't let them do it. And I just thought to myself, well, okay, you don't let them do it. I'm going to let them do it. And I've never regretted that for a microsecond in all the years that's been out.
And John, thank you so much for spending some time with us here today. It's a real joy for me after all these years to finally get a chance to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I just got to say, in all honesty, it's just a kick for me to know that people still want to interview me. I just can't believe it. Wait a minute. Me?
Well, thank you very much, John Stewart, our guest. And we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.